Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Our show is Inner Divinity, and we're here each week to help you discover and live from your highest self, your true self, and to discover the peace and the joy that is your birthright as a divinely created being. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. Thank you so much for tuning in today, right here on 88.3 FM, every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to be inspired to live a happier and healthier life, or to discover the thousands of simple tools that are available to help you do that, or if you want to feel more love in your life, or feel more connected with your own higher self, and if you want to create more joy or peace or beauty in the world, then you're in the right place. On Inner Divinity, we are committed to healing our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, to remembering the truth of who we really are. We focus here on spirituality rather than on religion. So if you long for any of that, then tune in every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Spiritual growth is our passion here, in part because we've had to learn to access a power greater than our individual selves in order to heal deep wounds and make living worthwhile. We know that each person is a divinely created being with God-given free will and the potential power to rise up out of any pain or suffering. We know that because we've both done it and watched countless others do it as well. Mostly, all we need to do to relieve suffering is to discover, accept, and then release whatever has blocked our connection with the divine source of all life. Call that God or Great Spirit or Goddess or Universal Spirit. In my experience, it doesn't really matter what we call it, but it matters greatly that we call on it. Because what blocks us is often subconscious, below our current level of awareness, we need a power that is bigger than ourselves to begin reclaiming who we really are, to release those blocks and begin embracing our God-given birthrights to feel whole, happy, and at peace in mind, in body, and in spirit. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and a spiritual life coach with a master's in counseling psychology. And my co-host is Sage Woman, an ordained intuitive and shamanic priestess. Our shared passion is helping anyone who wants to grow, who wants to awaken to the truth of who they really are, and to share the many ways that we've discovered for doing so. We follow many of the teachings of our Native American ancestors, and we both know way too much about releasing pain, about how to heal, because we've had to learn in order to keep living. Feeling connected with divine power and taking action from that deep, unconditional love that lives inside of us can and does heal every type of suffering. So each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, on what helps, on what really matters. We give you the tools and the inspiration to begin living the life you've always wanted to live. And we hope that you and all of your friends join us right here on 88.3 FM or online at WAIF883.org every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Divine Spirit is alive in you. We know that because without it, you wouldn't be breathing. When spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, you carry that divine spark of life and the power and the love that it holds right inside of you. And because of that inner divinity, you have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other type of suffering that you've been doing. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience love or peace or joy or wholeness. There's only stuff to let go of. The stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that living right inside of us. We begin that journey each week with a little music to uplift our spirits, to remind us of what is true, and to let ourselves move if we want to, so the body can actually feel the spirit moving inside of it. We also want to let you know that there's a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we'd love to hear from you on that page. So thanks so much for joining us today, and we hope you stay tuned for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. Here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy.
Oh,
every shining now and then. That, of course, was Miss Carrie Newcomer singing If Not Now. Hello, all you beautiful spirits. If you're just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a holistic spiritual coach, and I'm your host here on Wednesdays, along with my beautiful co-host, Sage. How are you today, Sage?
I'm doing great. Glad
good.
To be here.
It's good to have you here. We are here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Our show is Inner Divinity. And what we do on this show is give you the tools and the inspiration to empower that highest self, that truest self that lives within each and every one of us. And if you want to live a happier and healthier, a more spiritually connected life, there are lots and lots and lots of tools out there and ways for you to do that. And we talk about some of those every single week on this show. And what we're talking about today, actually, is what happens when the spirit leaves the body in what we call death. And every spiritual teacher throughout time has told us in one way or the other that life is eternal, that death doesn't really exist. And it's an interesting topic because when we're in the physical, that's what we know. We know the physical. And boy, this physical body definitely dies. But the spirit, the essence of who I am, who you are, that essence doesn't die. And I don't care what spiritual tradition you uphold, you will discover through reading, and if you go inside, you can discover in yourself that spirit, life itself, is eternal. What physicists tell us is that the universe itself is always expanding. I personally think that's because life itself is universally expanding, and so the universe can do nothing but that. So I'm going to share a little bit about my own near-death experience and tell you a little bit about the millions of other people who have experienced, they're called NDEs, near-death experience. And also I'm going to talk some about what has been discovered through thousands of hypnosis sessions where they've worked with people about what happens when they leave this particular physical realm. But what I really want to share is my experience of that near death, because I'm telling you, it wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be. And I think you might be interested in hearing some of that, because most of the time people's reaction when I tell that story is, oh, you mean there's no judgment? And there really wasn't any judgment at all. And I think that's one of the best messages that we can have, is that there is no judgment. The only judgment comes from our own egos, our own minds. God is not in judgment of us, and that's what I discovered. And maybe Sage has a story about a near-death experience or some hypnosis when you explored what happens between lives or done any journeying around that issue.
Definitely, definitely. I've got an experience that I'm not sure what it would be called, but I was awake but left my body, and it was really, I mean, I was definitely dying, so it was nothing I'd ever experienced, and on that level, you know, don't really want to experience that. But it's kind of crazy too.
And did it seem to wake you up in some way?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even more than I had already moved into that space of really had finding that self-love and moving into that place of being in spirit. And but yes, it like definitely put a bigger perspective on it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It always does. And we're going to talk about that at length today. Before we get into that discussion, we are a public supported radio station, and we want to thank all of our listeners so much. Your support means the world to us. We would not be able to be on the air if it weren't for all of our listeners. I also want to let you know about underwriting. If you have business information that you would like to get to our amazing listeners, then you can underwrite any show that you would like, including this one, folks, on WAIF. And I think you will be absolutely astonished at how affordable it really is. So if you would like to
get your business information to our listeners. You can get in touch with either myself or Sage. And you can also call an underwriting expert here at WAIF, and that number is 513-351-1538. So we are talking about what happens when the spirit leaves the body. The one thing that I always like to talk about when people ask me, you know, do you believe in reincarnation? Do you believe in other lives? Is I go back to everything I've ever read, as well as my own experience, that life is eternal. Jesus said that. Buddha said that. Every spiritual teacher that we've had has said that in one way or another. Life is eternal. What does that mean? The reason that I personally believe in reincarnation and that we have many lives is because I've experienced them. And once you've experienced something, then it's hard to say you don't believe in it. And I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of other people who have explored other lifetimes. So I believe in that because of my own experience. But the other way that I often talk about it to people is, if you've ever been around someone whose body is dying, even if that person is in a coma, it's very clear that they're still living. You can, even if you can't see their breath, really you cannot see the rise and fall of the chest. There's an energy present in the room. And when that energy is gone, then that person is what we call dead. And you can feel it, you can see it. If you've ever been around somebody who was in that process of the body dying, it is so obvious from one second to the next if the spirit is in the body or if the spirit isn't. So clearly, the body dies. Clearly, the spirit doesn't because it leaves the body behind. And that's what happened for me when I had a near-death experience. What I like to tell people about that experience is, in one way, it was just like a thousand others you could read, because there are tons of books out there. I think Raymond Moody was the first author that I read about it in the 70s, but there are literally thousands of books out there about how different religions view death and the afterlife, books about near-death experiences. There's a great book called Journey of Souls, which is about, I don't even know, 400 or 500 case studies of hypnosis sessions of taking people through what happens when the spirit leaves the body. What I know from a lot of experience, and my own personal one as well, is that it doesn't really matter what you believe. Because when I had my near-death experience, I was 19 years old. I was a heroin addict. I OD'd on heroin for the third time. I was trying my best to be an atheist. I certainly hated God, and I was trying really hard not to believe in God. I hated everybody and everything. I had attempted suicide numerous times before that, and I think actually the heroin overdose was just sort of a subconscious suicide attempt. I was definitely not what a religious person would call a candidate to sit on the right-hand side of God. I mean, I was an angry, bitter, sad, miserable human being. And when I died from a heroin overdose, I was met with pure, absolute, unconditional love and acceptance. There was no judgment. There was nothing like that. I had my own judgment of myself. And even though my first words were not nice when I realized that I wasn't going to go on into that beautiful bright light, that I was actually going to come back to this earth, I said a whole string of cuss words. Like, I couldn't believe I was going to have to come back to this miserable life. And even though that was the first thing I said to God, was this whole string of cuss words, and I still got total love and acceptance, no judgment whatsoever. And my experience, because I didn't go through that door into the white light. I got to it, but I didn't go through it because I was going to come back. Then I didn't go through a lot of the life review stuff and the whole space between lives and all this stuff that other people talk about when they their stories are written about. But what I did do was I had what felt like an 8 to 10 hour conversation with God, because I guess I still am a demanding sort of person. Because when, you know, I was, when it became clear that I could go back or I could go forward, whatever, I wanted some questions answered, and I got all my questions answered. And I'm not going to try to tell you that whole 8 to 10 hour conversation. What I will tell you is the things that shocked me, surprised me so much that it changed the way I thought about everything. First of all, what I've already said, that there was no judgment. Second of all, I had a choice. It was very clear in that moment that I had a choice. Because when I put my hand on that door, where all the light was, and I'm getting ready to open that door and walk through into the light, this voice, this presence, I can call it God. You can call it whatever you want to. To me, it was God. And believe me, I was mad at God. And so I let God know it. God didn't have a problem with that. It was pretty cool. But when I was getting ready to walk through that door into the light, the first thing I heard was, wait a minute, there's still stuff you wanted to do back there. That's when I started cussing. Because I thought I had to go back. And my first question was, you mean I have to go back? And God told me very clearly, no, you don't have to go back. But because you've already decided you wanted to do that, you can go forward into the light, and then you'll just create the same situation again, because there's certain things you wanted to do there, and because you want to do them, you will do it again. I'm like, you mean I have to live that life over? No way. That is not going to happen. So that was my choice, is I could go ahead and leave that miserable life and go into the light, and then apparently go and do it over. Well, I wasn't going to do that. Or I could come back. So that to me was an incredible validation that I am A, at choice about if I'm living this life or if I'm not. B, that there is no judgment for suicide. There is not. I had attempted it many times. I got no judgment about that. But more importantly to me, up until that point, I had never considered reincarnation. Because, you know, I was raised in a real fundamentalist Christian household, and I had read a lot of stuff, but I hadn't really given it much thought. And in that conversation with God, while I was no longer in the physical body, and the physical body was dead, my spirit had this conversation where God made it very clear to me that I would keep doing a particular life over and over and over until I did whatever it was that I came into that life to do. And so we had a long conversation about, what? You mean I chose that? And so I'll talk more about that in a minute, but I want to ask Sage, what was your experience, and how did it affect you?
Well, you know, it was, I was thinking about that because I knew we were going to do this show, and, you know, me too, during my years of not being at that space of self-love, I had done a lot of things that had given me the opportunity to possibly leave the planet, you know.
Right.
And so I was always trying to get out and leave. And to leave, I felt if I left, I'd leave my unhappiness. And I, after I had, you know, come to that space of my transformation, and everything was lining up. I was happy from the inside out. I wasn't, you know, abusing substances or anything like that. I was in a good relationship with me and my man. And I remember coming home one night from work, and I just felt a little weird and not sick or anything, but just off. I felt like I wanted to talk to family members, but I sort of dismissed it. So I came home, and everything was fine. I said goodnight to my husband because I had a TV thing to do in the morning, so I wanted to get my beauty sleep. And I laid down, and as soon as I laid down, everything shifted. I started feeling like I was seeing my life move forward and my body move forward, even physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I have not been doing drugs. I don't do that anymore. I haven't had any alcohol, you know, and I'm in great health. And but I instinctually knew that something wasn't right. And I always would say, I kind of went out of body because I don't remember anything. And my husband was there, so he was experiencing everything. And mm-hmm. I went to him, and from one moment I was fine. The next I was looking at him straight in the eyes and said, I'm dying. You need to take me to the emergency room. And I'm giving him a list of demands, though, of what I need when I go to the emergency room. But it was weird because, like, I'm talking to you right now, and I'm aware. But I was talking, but I was also watching my life in the weirdest way. And I could feel my body speeding up like it was going to go, leave. It, and all the while, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not ready to go now. Are you kidding me? Everything is really fabulous, and I'm leaving? This isn't happening. And I had this thought in my head that if I got in that car to go, in the truck to go to the hospital, I knew I wasn't going to make it. I knew it. And so all of a sudden, I looked outside, and it was pouring rain, and I just looked at my husband. I said, hold on 1 minute. And I don't remember speaking any of this. He told me afterwards. And I went outside and literally looked up in the pouring rain and commanded that I was put back in my body.
Wow.
And you know what? At that instant, because you know your body when you're feeling it. In that instant, I came right back completely in this, in like normal. And I went, what the heck? You know, I put it a little bit more than that. And the funniest thing is I walked in. And mind you, I'd only really been with my husband for a little while. So thank goodness I kind of had told him what I'm all about. But I looked at him and I said, can you make me a cup of tea? And I had never drank, I'd never drank tea before. And he just looked at me, made me a cup of tea. I drank a sip. I remember saying thank you, and I need to go to bed. And I went to bed. I was fine. I woke up the next morning. I had about 3 or 4 people, including my son and my best friends, call me and said, man, you were on my mind at midnight last night. And that's exactly when it happened.
Wow.
And I still didn't really know. But I knew, because ever since then, like, my taste is different. What I see is different. I have no fear of, I don't know if I had a fear of death. I probably did, but I have none. And it was a choice.
Yes.
But it wasn't this choice that I wanted to make to go.
Right.
Which was opposite of always trying to leave.
Right.
And it was kind of humorous, because I'm like, okay, so now... Of course, this would be me. Now everything is really great, and now I'm leaving. No, I'm not. But I also knew, coming back, that the way I looked at life and afterlife and spirit had completely shifted.
Yeah.
And I'd been involved in things where, you know, I've seen spirits, and I've in the readings I do, you know, I've worked with those that have crossed over that I have no idea who they are, but they do, and it all works out. But it's really different when it's you.
Yes, it is.
And it's really different when you can't explain to someone that feeling, and you've never had it before.
Right.
Because you experience a lot of the same feelings in your lifetime. And that one in your physical body, it's nothing. And then the attachment to the spiritual, it was pretty amazing.
Right. Well, you know, that's what a lot of people describe happening after a near-death experience or after. This sounds like you did some astral travel and you had a choice to just keep going and you said, oh, no, I'm going back.
Right.
But a lot of people describe that sort of experience of when they come back from that, everything is different. The fear of death isn't there. They have an understanding of the oneness that exists,
mm-hmm.
where even if you can't put words to it, mm-hmm. you feel it in a different way.
Right.
And you also, there is an understanding that there is no judgment. That's one of the biggest, because for me, having grown up in an incredibly judgmental home with a very judgmental religion, it was quite astonishing to discover that I can stand in judgment of myself, or other people can stand in judgment of me, but God does not. And that was fascinating. But, you know, it helped me understand more about what some people call ghosts. I don't know that I would call this a ghost, but the next day after I woke up, my mom actually came, and that's a whole other story because that was a complete miracle. She did not know where I was. We had not communicated in 6 months. I had no telephone. She did not know where I lived. And all of a sudden, because I had been praying for hours, you know, help me, help me, help me not do any more heroin. Mm-hmm. Because I knew if I got up, I'm going to go use. And so my mom shows up at my door. It was completely miraculous. And I'm like, how did you find me? She says, shut up. Come with me. My mom took me,
wow.
Which was a complete miracle. But on the way home that day, she was so mad at me. And one of the things she said that really blew me away, because I didn't say anything to her about what had happened the night before. But at one point when we were on our way home, she pulls over on the side of the road. We were headed down the mountain, and she pulls over on the side of the road, and she said, and let me just tell you something. The next time you decide to die, do not come and get me. And I'm like, what? And she said, somewhere this morning, about 5 or 6 o'clock, which is what time it all happened, she said, you showed up. You woke me up from a sound sleep.
Wow.
And you said, bye, Mom. And she's like, don't you do that to me again.
Just gave me chills.
And I'm like, right. Oh, my goodness. And that's why she got up and came and found me.
Wow.
And how she found me to the day she died, she ever said was, I followed my nose. I had no idea.
Oh,
how
my
she,
gosh.
We hadn't even talked on the phone. She had no idea where I
so
lived.
So amazing.
And I was maybe like 30 miles from her or something. But anyway, that was part of the whole miracle of the thing, is that my mom came and helped me kick heroin. And I did. I kicked heroin. I didn't ever do heroin again.
Wow.
But she was so angry because I had come to her, she said, in the middle of the night, just to say bye. She said, don't come to me to say bye when
that
you're dead already.
Is.
Come before then, where I have a chance to do something.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all I can say to that, because that's like a double there.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that just puts it right there.
Whole series of miracles mm-hmm. around that whole thing.
I love it.
Well, you know what? We want to take a little musical break here before we completely forget to do that. I want to play you a little song today that's by a good friend of mine. Her name is Jody Saland, and I play her music often on the show. The CD is called Spirit Speak to Me, and it's one of the most beautiful, incredible CDs, and I just love it. And I want to play this song, Going Deeper to Fly Higher. And Jody understands, like Sage does, like I do, that if you really want to know the truth, you're going to find it inside. You're not going to find it outside of yourself, because the truth, it's yours and it lives in you. So we're going to hear Jody doing this song, and we'll see you back here in a few moments.
Oh,
was Miss Jodi Salon from her Spirit Speak to Me CD. And that song was Going Deeper to Fly Higher. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I consider myself spiritual but not religious. My co-host is Sage. And we are so happy that you're joining us here every week. And today what we're talking about is what actually happens when the body dies. Because every spiritual tradition throughout time has told us that life is eternal. Scientists tell us that the universe is constantly expanding, that there is really no death. And if we understand science, we understand even Einstein's theory, E equals MC squared, that's really what that's saying, is nothing is ever destroyed. There is no death. There's just a change of form in everything. And so it's that time of year, you know, Halloween. A lot of traditions, that's called Hallowmas. And then the next day is called All Saints Day. And then November 2nd is called All Souls Day. And that three-day period has been traditional throughout human history to take time to think about your roots, to honor your ancestors in particular, to give thanks for and appreciation for all that your lineage, the people in your family back through the generations, all that they have given you. And I don't think that something would stay a holiday throughout the whole of human history if there wasn't something to that. If people didn't experience what we call ghosts, then why would we have a holiday that honors them? And basically we have 3 days of it, with Hallowmas and All Saints Day and All Souls Day. And as a matter of fact, this Friday night, they're called Friday Night Salons. I'm going to be giving a talk on ghosts and the unseen realms and what happens then. And if you're interested, that starts at 6:30. And it's on Plainfield, just off Montgomery in Cincinnati. And so you're welcome to join us at the Friday Night Salon to hear more about this whole idea of what happens when the spirit leaves the body. Well, what we know from talking to a lot of people is that some spirits don't leave this physical world, and they are what we call ghosts. Some spirits get caught out of place, out of time. What is that about? Well, I'll tell you what I discovered when I had that near-death experience when I was 19, is that we have so many choices. We have 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, differently or we couldn't function. But one of those choices is, well, you know, even Jesus said this, as you believe, so it is done unto you. And so there's a lot of writers out there that say, what happens to you once the spirit leaves the body depends on what you believe. And I really subscribe to that philosophy and that theory, except for one thing. I did not believe that God was good. I believed God was a judgmental jerk when I died when I was 19. And it wasn't so. God was amazing. I believed that I was going to die and burn in hell eternally. I did not. I was met in this incredible place of light and love and goodness by the most loving, accepting energy that I had ever experienced. So I think some of it is, as you believe, so it is done unto you. But I also think there's the reality of reality. And because the universe is always expanding and there's nowhere to go but up, it's like there's nothing to do but grow. That I think regardless of what you believe, you may go to some place based on your beliefs initially, but I think ultimately the only place there is to go is to God. That's just the only place there is to go, because God is all there is. God is what there is. And so when we leave this body, the spirit goes on. And from my experience and thousands of others that I've read, when my spirit left this body behind, I could see the body lying there in the bed dead. I could see it. And I didn't care about that body at all. It had no meaning whatsoever for me. I just left it behind. I wasn't attached to it at all. But as I went into that beautiful, amazing place where the light was, before I walked through the door where all the light was, first I was sort of just like in this big hallway where I couldn't see the ceiling or the walls. It was so huge, but it was filled with all, it was filled with light that was all coming from around this door that was still closed. And I knew when I opened that door, the light was going to be even more amazing. But I was still me. I didn't feel any differently or think any differently than when I had been in that body. The only difference was I didn't have a body anymore. But I was still me. There was no, like, suddenly I'm angelic or... No. Believe me, I was an angry, nasty, miserable person.
In spirit, too.
And I still got met.
Love it.
With unconditional love.
Yeah.
So just, I want to just give a couple of you, I want to give you a couple of ways to find out more about this subject if it's something that is of interest to you. I want to give you this one man's name because he's actually someone, Raymond Moody, I mentioned before. But there was this cardiologist. His name was Dr. Pim Van Lommel, L-O-M-M-E-L. He was a cardiologist in the Netherlands. And he conducted the largest hospital-based study of near-death experiences because he kept having patients who, you know, flatlined or whatever, then come back. And they were all telling him a similar story. So he got really interested in it in like the 60s, I think, or the early 70s. And he was inspired to start this incredible research. And he did that. And so there's been tons of stuff written from his study. So if you like the whole medical scientific model and exploration of it, Dr. Pim Van Lommel is the person you want to go to. There is another incredible book called Journey of Souls, which is not about near-death experiences specifically. It is about hypnosis and taking people through hypnotic regression to find out what happens. And what's very interesting about the near-death experiences and the hypnosis is everybody tells the same story. That's where the belief in it can come from, because you could not do a hypnotic regression on 5,000 people who'd never seen in one another, that were from different cultures, different ages, and have them all basically tell you the same thing, unless that same thing was actually happening. And that's what was so phenomenal about all this hypnosis kinds of work. So that's also a very interesting book to read. There is tons of stuff out there on near-death experiences, on what happens when the soul leaves the body behind. And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, nobody really knows that for sure. You know what? I would disagree, because all of us who have died and come back, we do know what happened. And like, you know, Sage had that, a taste of that experience just by watching herself be out of the body and literally being able to say, whoa, no, back in, and having it happen. She was literally commanding, I don't know whether it was the spirit, Sage, or the body to open or what it was.
I just said, put me back in my body now. I command it.
I do know that, because that's all I knew to ask for, because I knew I was leaving it. I was on both sides of it, you know. But, yeah, that's cool to have that instant.
Yes.
Calling it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's power, and we have that power. So, as usual, this hour has gone by so incredibly fast. I want to thank everybody a lot for listening today. I want to let you know that Sage and I will be here every Wednesday, as usual, from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on 88.3 FM. We hope you join us next week. We are going to close out today with the theme song, and that is God Is by Faith Rivera. I want you to really listen to this song, because so many people have that fear of God. I know I did growing up. And when we really get it that God is inside of us, that even though we are God, God is so much more than we are, there's nothing to fear. God is showing up in everything that we're doing. And so I love the way faith really expresses it in this song. So there's no confusion about what God is or what God is doing. So I hope you really listen, and we'll see you back here next week. Enjoy. Where I am.